Okay. Well, my text is the last verse in Hebrews 11, where God has planned something better for us and the old saints all together, and only all together will we be made perfect. That's more or less the gist of the text. Now, I was watching a drama a few months ago, medieval times, you know, how they would get a message from one place to another. They'd light a beacon or something, and somebody would see a beacon 5 miles away, and then they would light a beacon, and so it would go on. I was just thinking, you know, this day and age, most of you probably listening in, you've got a little gadget, a mobile phone, that somebody can just type in a few digits and they can send a text message hundreds of miles in a few seconds. So those people in the medieval times, they would never have imagined that there was something so much better in terms of communication. They could never have imagined there was something so much better than they had. And that's my title, really, Something Better. I remember as a young Christian, we went to our first Christian conference, something called Spring Harvest. We booked into this large holiday camp, which is where the conference was taking place. We booked what's called budget accommodation because we didn't have much cash. And it was a very long drive. We arrived. Now, I knew the place we were staying in would be small and basic, in inverted commas, but unfortunately, it was dirty. In fact, it was smelly. And a number of the things in what was called the chalet did not work. They were broken. Now, my point was this. It wasn't difficult, having arrived and looked at the accommodation, it wasn't difficult to imagine a better place to stay than this. Then a few years later, a friend of mine invited me to meet him on the beach in Caswell Bay, down the Gower there. And he said, come down there, I want to have a chat with you about some things. And then he said, we can have a cup of tea in my flat. I've bought a flat down there. Well, again, I drove down to Caswell Bay. I knew what a bay was like. I knew what a beach was like. I knew what a flat was like. I had an idea in my head what a flat was like. But as it happened, this flat was not anything like I had pictured in my head. This was the most posh apartment I had ever seen. Much more than I had imagined. Now, the brilliant philosopher and mathematician in the 17th century, Leibniz, he said, because of how we all are and because of how we all behave, we can always conceive of better than we presently have. For example, on Monday, I was released from jury service, probably because of some administrative mess up. I don't care, really. The point was, I was thrilled to be out in the street. I felt I was free. But could I have imagined something better? Yes, even though I was thrilled, I could imagine not having to have had the problem of reorganizing the next couple of weeks. I could imagine better than I didn't have to drive all the way over to Swansea. I didn't have to look for a parking space. I didn't have to pack at lunch. I didn't have to produce ID and hang around for a boring 45 minutes in the court. So delighted as I was, I could still conceive of something better. And my text here, after a long list of the dear old saints, or some of the old saints in the Old Testament, the Lord says that there's something better that the Lord has planned, better than I can ever conceive in my puny little imagination, something that cannot be bettered at all. God had planned something better for these old saints, so that only together with us would we all enjoy this something better that the Lord had planned. Now, we're reminded in Hebrews 11 that faith in the Lord is all that God requires to enter eternal life. That's all. No works are required. It's faith in God alone, faith in the Lord Jesus alone. Now, some of those believers that Kerry read, they'd been through some astonishingly difficult times. They'd suffered for their faith. Arrest, torture, prison, stoned to death, some sawn in two. I can't imagine how vile that is. Deprived of somewhere to live, banished. And all they had to cling to were the promises of God. Now, I know a few people who I get on well with. They're friendly when I see them. They've often promised things, but actually they're so unreliable that I'm shocked if they ever do keep their word. They mean well, but they just are so sloppy with their promises. But I know a few people, if they say, I'll be there, unless there's an earthquake or an accident, they'll be there. I've come to rely on them because they actually honour their promises every time. Let me just stop and ask you, which one are you most like? See, the Bible is clear. God does not and cannot lie. Meaning what? He can always be trusted. Meaning what? He keeps his word. He keeps his promises. Now, in verse 39 and 40, the last two verses of Hebrews 11, we are told that none of those on that list of believers, none of those actually received what was promised. Well, why not? Because the fulfillment of the promise was not yet and is still not yet for them and for us. Why not? Because only together with us, verse 40 says, God has planned something so much better, so that only together with us, all the saints together, all the believers, Old Testament, New Testament, those who come behind us, those who may come after us, if the Lord is merciful, all together, and only all together, will they be made perfect. Frank Sinatra's tombstone, one of his songs is quoted, "The best is yet to come." Well, that is wonderfully true for Christians, but I don't know whether it was true or is true for Frank Sinatra. People say, I hope so. You know, I read in the newspaper, Prince Philip is now reunited with his mother. Well, says who? On what basis? And reunited where? Are we back to last week again? I hope so. See, I want to focus on the best that God has planned, something so much better than anything we've ever dreamt up in our imaginations. You know, see, originally the scripture was written, there were no verses numbered and no chapters numbered. So this verse, this text, comes in between all that long list of Old Testament saints and then chapter 12, which is all about running the race, the old Spencer Davis song in the 60s, "Keep on Running." That's Hebrews chapter 12. Because keep on running, because what God's planned for you is absolutely tremendous. So what is our text saying? All those heroes of the faith who suffered so much, they were looking to the promises of God to be fulfilled. But in their lifetime, they didn't see the perfect fulfillment. They did not know it is finished. Why not? Well, it wasn't finished, that's why. It was only when Jesus died on the cross that he could say, "It is finished," and breathe his last and give up his spirit to his Father. But here we are, of course, the other side of the cross. We're in the end times. Our atonement is completed. The slate has been wiped clean. Now, I had a job one Christmas, 3 weeks in a pub when I came home from as a student, and we actually did have a slate and a bit of chalk, and there were regulars who'd come in, and occasionally, very occasionally, they'd say, "Oh, I'd like another pint, I've run out of money." And we would just put their name up and how much they owed, and then whenever they came in next to pay, we would wipe the slate, and they would show them, make them see that we had wiped the slate clean. Well, here we are. It is finished. My sins have been forgiven, dealt with. And that's wonderful. But as wonderful as that is, and it is wonderful, mind, there'll be a last day when all the saints of God will be gathered together. When he comes, our glorious King, all is ransomed home to bring. And we'll be gathered then, and all will have resurrected bodies, all have glorified bodies. And we, with all the saints who've ever lived, will be gathered together. It'll be a family party and nobody will be missing. Everybody will be there. Great celebrations, we sometimes sing in that song, on that final day. When out of the heavens he will come. So where's David and Samuel and Ruth and Hannah now? In the presence of the Lord. But they're absent from the body and present with the Lord. They do not have their glorified bodies yet. Only together with us will there be that great celebration. We will all be raised. Now, I can't describe this to you. I can't describe this something better to you. It really is heaven. It is another world. I remember somebody I worked with making fun of saying, about when I was talking about what the Lord offers in heaven and so on, and he said, well, I want to sit in a baggy nightie on a cloud playing a harp. And I just said to him, and you think I do? You think this is what I'm looking forward to? Thank God he's prepared something much, much, much better than that. Now, I saw Eric Clapton being interviewed last week. His son fell and died. And then a couple of years later, he wrote that song, No More Tears in Heaven, which is great. It's a great truth. There are no more tears in heaven. But is Eric going to heaven? I don't know. See, it's one thing to say that, which is wonderfully true. There are no more tears in heaven. But what if that's gloriously true and you don't get there? So let me ask you, you going to heaven? On what basis will you go to heaven? See, for years as a Christian, I was delighted that I was forgiven. I was. But I'd not appreciated to any degree the size of God's plan. Hatched before the creation of the world, hatched before he created me and you. Do you know the plan? Does it boggle your mind? That Almighty God would come here as a man, not just take my sin upon himself, which he did, but actually, and all that's wonderfully liberating, but actually the man Jesus would, the phrase Paul uses, would become sin. Now, I don't know what that means, but whatever it means, it's horrific that Jesus, the Son of God, who never sinned in his life, would become sin. But there was already a day, you see, on God's calendar when he would judge the world by that man we'd raise from the dead, Jesus. And the resurrection, amazing as it was only the down payment, the proof, the guarantee that there wouldn't just be Jesus raised and us absent from the body, present with the Lord, but there'd be a last day when all the saints would be raised, when Jesus comes one more time. All Christians will be raised with glorified bodies. Leibniz said, we could always conceive of something better. Regarding this truth, I can't. Can you? I can't conceive of anything better than this. I am way, way out of my depth. This is the best of the best of the best ever possible. Now, in the 90s, there was an excellent British boxer, Chris Eubank. He was world champion, middleweight, brilliant boxer. And there was one fight, he was fighting Dos Santos. And obviously before the fight, Chris Eubank had trained hard. He was hoping to win. More than that, better than that, he was hoping to win within the 10 rounds. Better than that, he was hoping to win by a knockout. The bell went for the first round. Eubank glides across the ring. First punch, Dos Santos is hit down and out, out cold. So from Eubank's point of view, you couldn't have done any better than that. He could not have imagined anything better than that. First punch, not 10 rounds, 20 seconds, all over. Now, I remember at a funeral many, many years ago, as a young Christian, and the vicar just droned on and didn't say anything. And I knew the person who'd passed away. And there was a long line then of the family and people walking past. And I could hear the daughter saying to everybody about her mother who'd passed away, oh, she's in a better place now. She's in a better place. And I was just thinking, if she says that to me, what do I say? What do I say? He said, it's easier than that. Are you sure? Better than what? You know, James chapter 1 I read last week saying, you know, do not merely listen. I fear some of you do that, you know. You listen. You enjoy or don't enjoy whatever to various degrees every week, but you just listen and you're not doing anything about what the Lord says. You think of your happiest moment. Jesus is offering much better. Much better. Better than what? Better than everything. Better than anything. In Luke 16, two men die. One's a VIP, very wealthy. The other fellow's a beggar. The beggar goes straight to glory in the presence of Father Abraham, the leader of the Jews, as it were. The other man, the rich VIP, he dies, he's in hell. And on top of the burning agony of hell, there's something that makes his situation much, much worse. Do you know what it is? He can see the much better that the beggar is enjoying. No wonder he is absolutely in agony. Can you imagine the contrast? No wonder poor people in hell, we read, gnaw their tongues in agony. Self-loathing, despair, because not only are they suffering, but they know how much better it could have been. See, salvation is tremendous. It's breathtakingly beautiful. It's better than anything anyone of us could ever conceive. But where are you in this? Are you just listening again? Where are you? Don't mess about. Trust in Jesus now while you still can. Trust in the Lord because he's prepared something so much better for us to enjoy. What are we going to do? Trust him. Repent and believe. Amen. We'll sing a song.